When I was torn by war, I took a brush immersed in death and drew a window on war's wall. I opened it, searching for something, but all I saw was another war and a mother weaving a shroud for the dead man still in her womb.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, July 7th. Am I right? Is it July 7th? Yes, it is. 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we are winning this war, especially against the evil empire that is trying, much to its chagrin, to try to overthrow all the forces of light and justice in the world, but they're going to fail. Why? Because they're the bad guys, and we are Rant Media, and we're taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to check out on whatever manic thoughts I happen to be having today, and you are free to participate in anything that goes on there. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. All those very cool people are involved with distributing this weapon of mass realization out to the entire internet, and hopefully you will be able to understand some of the ideas that we talk about in here today, because God knows some of them I sure don't. And remember that you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. If you want to give it to people, you can. The best thing you can do is talk about it. Talk about it in elevators. Talk about it on buses. Talk about it with people you know will be interested in this kind of programming. Let them know that there is an alternative to the Monday night news / pharma fascism ads which get bombarded to you. Watch the news sometime and count how many car commercials and how many drug commercials are on the news. It's almost nothing but drug commercials on the news. It's like they're going to report all these hideously bad stories, even if they're lucky enough to be reporting hideously bad stories, if they're not distraction stories like Homolka and Jackson and everything else that's coming along. Oh no! Oh no, a little girl is lost on some fucking island somewhere. Well, meanwhile, you know, that's tragic and everything, but there's bigger fish to fry right now. I'd rather pay more attention to what's going on with my government than the plight of just one girl in a foreign country. I'm sorry about that, and if that makes me a heartless fuck, then I guess it does. But the truth of the matter is that, hey, we need to wake up and realize what's going on. So not a lot of feedback today, but I do have some news for you. Starting right off the top in robot combat news. This was sent to me by Dead Code, the little UK psycho that he is. A robot is made for practice of Japanese fencing. Okay, now Japanese fencing, correct me if I'm wrong, but Japanese fencing, isn't that like kendo? Isn't that like what they used in Empire Strikes Back? I mean, that's Japanese fencing, right? So we've taken a robot and we're teaching a robot how to sword fight. This is the most after-now fucking story ever. A team of Korean researchers at the Seoul National University has developed a robot called Musa, made for the practice of Japanese fencing. This robot kicks ass. I wonder if I've got anybody. Is there anybody in Japan? Have we got anybody over there? I want to get photos of Musa. Hell with that. I want the head of Musa. Bring me the head of the AI sword fighting robot. I want to build one of those and put it on my lawn. That is an outstanding concept. One of the best ideas I've seen in robotics in a long time. This whole brilliant project was led by Professor Bang Young Bong. I'm not joking. That's his name. Spelt like it sounds, Bang Young Bong. I mean, Professor Bang Young Bong, can you tell me what it was that, you know, when was it that you came up with the concept for, you know, making a robot sword fight? Well, you know, I was just hanging out in my study, and I just thought, what if we made the robot sword fight? You know, okay, Mr. Bang Young Bong. The team has spent 1.5 years to research and develop a humanoid robot that moves like humans. Well, if it was me, I'd think it'd be more challenging to make a robot that, instead of doing Japanese fencing that way or doing kendo that way, I'd rather have, like, you know, one of the ones from the last movie where you got, like, four arms, you give them four swords, and then the guy's got to fight off someone with four arms. That'd be cool. Professor Bang said the 163-centimeter tall robot. Okay, so 163 centimeters. What is that in, like, any kind of normal measurement? Let's see, 30 centimeters is, like, that's just shy of, like, a foot or just more than a foot or whatever. So he's, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Anyway, it's 163 centimeters tall. Weighs about 70 kilograms, which, you know, I don't know what that is in pounds. And unveiled to be a partner. It was unveiled to be a partner for fencing practitioners. I don't know about you, man, but if I had, like, some scientist show up in my Japanese dojo, I'd be like, oh, we need your best student. And you get the best student, and he, like, leads you to this weird kind of, you know, octagon kind of arena, and they bring in this thing all covered with a cloak, and they take it off, and a robot draws down on me, man. I'd be like, well, you know, actually, that'd be kind of exciting. I mean, I definitely want video of that. I'd love to get over to Japan, break out the old boken there, and have a go at Mr. Musa. Let's go there, Musa. Musa has a unique aspect. It can measure the amount of power put on its bamboo sword and defends attacks by embedded sensors. The team aims to develop more competent robot within the next 3 years. I wonder if this will be a method for having Boken using robots to disperse rioters. Now, there's a thought, huh? Let's get some Boken using robots to disperse rioters during, like, the G8 protests. You know, you got all these robots come marching out, and then all of a sudden they throw down, pull out their Boken, and it turns into Braveheart right there in the middle of the streets in front of the G8 summit in Scotland. Man, that'd be sexy. I mean, it's an exciting time to be alive. Yeah, the core politicals are there. But usually, when you have a situation where you have an evil empire like this, there's lots of opportunity for people to be heroes. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that society was as fucked as it was right now, do you think I'd be getting even half the play I would be getting? Probably not. Probably not. I mean, luckily, I'm fairly entertaining in sort of a dancing monkey kind of way. But, you know, really, if it wasn't for the fact that we had so many crazy things going on in the world, if the core politicals want to take away power from people like me, stop being an asshole, and you'll find that people like me will slowly, you know, fall off the map because everyone will lose interest. That's a theory. And on that, by the way, I got a Jedi Master Laborn sent me some email about the Jedi. You know, these guys are really picking up momentum. When I first heard about these guys back in the day, you know, I was looking at this and I was going, yeah, you know, okay, well, they're a bunch of Star Wars nerds, right? Right? I mean, that's what they are. They're Star Wars nerds. Well, you got to understand that, I'm going to fess up here. I'm really going to come out on the wire here with this one. This is honest to God truth. This isn't fabricated. This is the truth. Empire Strikes Back was, I've said this before, was the first actual film I ever saw. You know, when I was a kid, my parents showed me mostly animated films, and my TV diet was kept fairly small. You know, I'd catch the A-Team and stuff like that when I was a little bit older. But when I was young, the first film I ever saw was Empire Strikes Back, because my mother, who's this aging beatnik hippie type, thought it was so important that I see this film because she understood the whole concepts of the Jedi and good and evil and the Empire and all that good shit. So, of course, when you watch Empire, it opens up on Hoth, and you have no idea what the fuck's going on. I got no idea what's going on. There's this guy, and there's these tauntauns going, you know, and all this kind of stuff. You don't really know what's happening. Somebody's cutting some dude up or whatever. But the minute that I saw the giant walking AT-ATs in Empire Strikes Back, man, it was all over for me. I'm like, I don't care what that is. I have to get one of those. And then when the Jedi starts showing up and you got Yoda in there teaching all this stuff, and actually what he's teaching, all the Jedi stuff, is all Qi-Gong or Qui-Gong. That's why he named Obi-Wan's master Qui-Gong, because it's all Qi-Gong teaching. Now, even the powers of the Jedi, correct me if I'm wrong here, but even the powers of the Jedi were taken directly from Chinese texts. I mean, not to diss Lucas too much. I mean, there's lots of reasons to diss Lucas. But, I mean, come on, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. But seriously, you know, when you look at this and see what Lucas did, he taught the kind of concepts that were taught by Qi-Gong and gave it a name. He called them the Jedi. And now it has grown beyond Lucas, this concept that he thought up, just like, you know, George Washington and all those guys back in the day thought up America. and then it grew past them, just like a lot of the ideas I cook up grow past me. Now the Jedi has grown past Lucas, and isn't that a neat organization? I mean, I was doing a little bit of research because Laybourne sent me a whole ton of stuff, and I'd like to know a little bit more. So if you know something more, good, bad, whatever, I'm doing some research on this whole Jedi thing, and if you know anything about it, please get back to me, because that might be a crew I could consider throwing in with. They seem like a good bunch of guys. And what a fantastic way to promote unity throughout the entire cyber culture, huh? Kind of a good idea. Of course, it won't be only a matter of time before they label Jedi as terrorists, but, you know, hey, nothing too evil empire about that. In illegal hardware news, everybody sent me this story. I mean, everybody did. A first ever conviction for modifying a games console has been secured in the United Kingdom, with a 22-year-old Cambridge graduate receiving 140 hours of community service and bill for up to £750 from a court in Wales. The man, who is yet to be named, was found guilty under the EU Copyright Directive, which was taken up by the UK in October 2003. Now, isn't Wales not part of the UK? I thought Wales was outside of that. Which makes it illegal to circumvent copy protection systems on hardware such as game consoles. The crime in question was selling modded Xboxes fitted with a larger hard drives and pre-installing games. So he sold the Xbox with a bunch of games already on it. To be precise, 80 pre-installed games on a chipped Xbox with a 200 gig hard drive for UK, about 380 UK pounds, for sale via his own website. So he's selling he's selling an Xbox that's modded, loaded with wares for cash. Now that is kind of scummy. I gotta say, it's kind of scummy. Contrary to some speculation today, the accused was convicted not only for the 80 pirate games sold within the system, but for the actual act of chipping the console, now illegal under the EUCD. Now, the act of adding a chip to a game is retarded to be convicted for that. I mean, he's selling boxes, he's making money from it, he's profiting from other people's work. Okay, granted, the guy broke the law, he needs to be punished, I understand that. But it is not, it shouldn't be illegal for you to take a piece of hardware and Lego style put it into another piece of hardware. That's ridiculous. The trade body, ELSPA, whose investigator found the chap in question and brought him to justice, was obviously delighted. Yes, this case sets a major precedent which marks a milestone in the fight against piracy. The savage, brutal, bloodthirsty fight against those all those teenagers out there trying to get an education. Said Michael Rawlinson, ELSPA's Deputy Director General. You love these names, Deputy Director General. Field Marshal Rawlinson. It sends a clear message to anyone tempted to become involved in chipping consoles. That is a criminal offense and will be dealt with accordingly. The modification of consoles is an activity that ELSPA's anti-piracy team is prioritizing. It is encouraging to see the UK courts do the same. Yes, because after all, this merchant-related criminal venture should be involved in the court system when we've got rapists and all these people who are a real threat to society that should be in court rather than these idiots who, you know, just want to play some video games. Obviously, they're the problem. Obviously, they're the ones that need to be stopped. I mean, what were you thinking? And in enforced voting news, another one sent in by that psycho dead code, people could face fines if they fail to vote in British general elections under plans outlined by Jeff Hoon. Now, listen to this. This is kind of interesting stuff. The Commons leader says a move towards compulsory voting is necessary to reinvigorate UK democracy. The proposals would give voters a none-of-the-above choice to follow the 61% general election turnout. But Conservative Constitutional Affairs spokesman Oliver Hurld said, there is little public support to make it a criminal offense not to vote. I think it should be a criminal offense not to vote. Honest to God. If you had to pay a fine if you didn't vote, I'd be down with that. It'll charge you money to not have your say. Because that way, we'd at least get accurate representation. And Mr. Hoon's fellow labor minister, James Plaskett, said the plans amount to a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out, dude. It's not a cop-out. You're forcing people to get out there and vote. You're forcing people to get out there and make their statements heard. I mean, it would be handy as if there was, like, an ability to have an internet console right beside the voting station. Nothing else other than an internet console. Put an internet console totally disconnected from any voting procedures. Everything's done on paper. But so that the guy, when he goes in to make his vote, he can take 10, 15 minutes, do some research online, see who he wants to vote for, and then vote for that guy. Why not? What the hell? Mr. Hoon argued that people appreciated their MP's role in doing constituency work, but they had a difficulty translating this to their role at a national level. During the election campaign, he had met electors who claimed they would not be voting because they could not see the connection between their concerns about schools and hospitals and casting their ballot, he said. So there's a lot of, there's something to be said for voting. And, I mean, there's lots of us out there that haven't voted. You know, there's lots of us out there that have just gone, well, you know, if voted changed anything, they make it illegal. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. I voted in the last election. That was the first time I voted. Why? Because I realized that unless you walk out there and unless you go and, you know, take the time and go vote on that one day, you know, you got no right to bitch. I mean, how can I sit up here and tell all you guys to go vote if I'm not voting myself? How can I tell all you guys out there that I think, you know, you should be trying to eat better and look after yourselves and all that kind of jazz if I'm not eating better and looking after myself, too? I mean, there's some limits to my hypocrisy. You know, there's some people claim there's not, but trust me, there are limits to my hypocrisy. I do try to live, you know, somewhat of a decent kind of example life, I guess you could say. But realistically, we all need to vote. And I think, yeah, maybe making it a criminal offense not to vote might be a good idea. In virtual news, now listen to this one. We got no terrorist attacks. There is no terrorism. Terrorism is the communism of the new century here. But check this out. In virtual news, this was sent to me by Visage. Deep inside the cave-like laboratories of the legendary research center that created the atomic bomb, scientists have begun working on a Manhattan Project of a different sort. In the wake of September 11th, 2001, the famous incident where the government was involved in creating a massive, massive terrorist attack in order to spur their people into war frenzy, they have constructed the most elaborate computer models the United States has ever attempted. The most elaborate computer model the United States has ever attempted. There are virtual cities inhabited by millions of virtual individuals who go to work, shopping centers, soccer games, and anywhere else their real-life counterparts go. And there are virtual power grids and oil and gas lines, water pipelines, airplane and train systems, even a virtual internet. And the scientists build them, and then they destroy them. On a recent weekday at the Los Alamos National Laboratory Research Center, Steve Fernandez took several power relay plants in the Pacific Northwest offline with a few clicks of his keyboard, while Kirsten Omberg and Brent Daniel were working up mathematical models that calculated the worst places to release biological agents in San Diego. "We're trying to be the best terrorists we can be," said James P. Smith, who was working on simulations of smallpox viruses released in Portland, Oregon. "Sometimes we finish and we're like, we're glad we're not terrorists." You know, virtual attacks are the only attacks that America seems to be getting. Now, this is a video game. Okay, what happened to business as usual? You know, during the Second World War, while Germany was bombing the living fuck out of England, okay, where they bombed them right into the Stone Age, all right, well, you know what everyone was doing over there? It was business as usual. They opened up their shops. They put up signs that says business as usual. There's actual photos, if you look online, of guys standing in rubble, laying out their wares on rubble with a sign and a big, you know, shit-eating grin on their face saying business as usual. But no. Now we must have fear. Fear everywhere. Breed fear. Fear of the terrorists. Fear, 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 fear. And that way, we can sell the American people on anything we want. We can sell them on implants. We can sell them on drugs. We can sell them on massive control mechanisms so they will trade their liberty for safety, and they deserve neither. Okay? Come on. This is bullshit. This is total bullshit. And the fact that a guy playing video games in some computer lab made it to the news? I mean, come on now. They're really stretching for terrorism. We must be ever vigilant. What terrorism? What? Where's the terrorists? Where are they all? Huh? Oh, well, we've been keeping them under wraps. Bullshit, Jack. Everyone who even knows anything about the security industry in the United States knows that if the terrorists want to distract the United States, they would. They would be fucking geeking people left, right, and center, but they're not. Why aren't they doing that? Well, the answer seems pretty obvious to me, okay? It seems pretty obvious that this entire terrorism threat is being so exaggerated and so spun out of control to promote the national agenda of the core political. Come on now. I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but there's only so many different ways I can say this. And in Why FUD News, listen to the spin on this article. You think the spin on the last one was bad? Listen to this one. This was sent to me by Ghostless. Richard Dinon saw the laptop's muted glow through the rear window of the SUV parked outside his home. He walked closer and noticed a man inside the SUV. Then the man noticed Dinon and snapped his computer shut. Maybe it was census work, the 20-year-old veterinarian told his girlfriend an hour later. Dinan left to drive home. The Chevy Blazer was still there. The man furtively hunched over his computer. Wow, this is all very scary shit. Dinan returned at 11 p.m., and the men repeated their strange dance. 15 minutes later, Dinan called the police. There's a man outside my house with a laptop. Police say Benjamin Smith III, 41, used his Acer brand laptop to hack into Dinan's wireless internet network. The April 20 arrest is considered the first of its kind in Tampa Bay and among only a few so far nationwide. So he hacked into the internet network. I see. So what he did was a guy pulled up an SUV, found an open port on a wireless, and used it to get his email. And they arrested him for it. It's so new, statistics are not kept, said Special Agent Bob Breeden, head of the Florida State Department of Law Enforcement's Computer Crime Division. But experts believe there are scores of incidences occurring undetected, sometimes to frightening effect. People have used the cloak of wireless traffic in child pornography. Of course they have. People have used the cloak of wireless to traffic child porn and steal credit cards and send death threats, according to the authorities. And terrorism. Don't forget terrorism. They do that too. All from the wireless, from people allowing people to use their wireless internet port. For as worrisome as it seems, wireless mooching is easily preventable by turning on encryption and requiring passwords. A problem, security experts say, is that many people do not take the time or are unsure of how to secure their wireless networks from intruders. Dion knew what to do, but I never did it because my neighbors are older. A drive through downtown St. Petersburg shows how porous networks can be. In less than 5 minutes, a Time reporter with a laptop found 14 wireless access points, 6 of which were wide open, and he broke the law. He should go to jail, too. I'll guarantee there are tons of people out there who have their wireless network being exploited but have no idea. And we see more people utilizing wireless. We see more people being victimized. They're victimized by allowing people access to the internet through your Wi-Fi port. You're being victimized. You don't know where that could lead. If you don't care because all you do is check your computer for email and stuff, and you don't mind sharing your internet port, what's the big deal? Really? I mean, this is total FUD. Like, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, if the guy's got a business there and he's got all sorts of shit going on in his business, fair ball. You know what I mean? Like, why don't I have two wireless routers? One of them is secure. The other one is insecure, so other people can just use your wireless. That way, everyone's got access, and it's very, kind of kumbaya. Everybody gets along. It's nice. Nothing wrong with that. But apparently, it's a crime. You know, this kind of stuff just pisses me off. Anyway, in core political shill news, this is something that I came across. Listen to this one here. Turning plants such as corn, soybeans, and sunflowers into fuel uses much more energy than the resulting ethanol or biodiesel generates, according to a new Cornell University and University of California Berkeley study. Now, this is a very interesting story here. Check this out. This is a guy claiming that, no, fossil fuels are the way to go. We can't use plants. There is just no energy benefit to using plants' biomass for liquid fuel, says David Pimentel, professor of ecology and agriculture at Cornell. The strategies are not sustainable. Pimentel and Tad Patzek, professor of civil and environmental engineering at Berkeley, smart guys, conducted a detailed analysis of the energy input yield ratios of producing ethanol from corn, switchgrass, and wood biomass, as well as for producing biodiesel from soybean and sunflower plants. So that's our data sample. The report is published in the National Resources Research Volume 14, 1, pages 65 to 76. In terms of energy output compared with energy input for ethanol production, the study found that corn requires 29% more fossil energy than fuel produced, switchgrass requires 45% more energy than fuel produced, and wood biomass requires 57% more fossil energy than the fuel produced. In terms of energy output compared with energy input for biodiesel production, the study found that soybean plants require 27% more fossil energy than fuel produced, and sunflower plants require 118% more fossil energy than fuel produced. Before I go off on this, I'm going to finish the article. In assessing inputs, the researchers considered such factors as the energy used in producing the crop, including production, pesticide, fertilizer, running from farm machinery, irrigating, grinding, and transporting the crop, and in fermenting, distilling the ethanol from the water mix. Although additional costs are incurred, such as federal and state subsidies that are passed on to consumers, the cost associated with environmental pollution or degradation, these figures were not included in the analysis. So, you know, there could be some Amway math going on there. The United States desperately needs a liquid fuel replacement for oil in the near future, says Pimentel. But producing ethanol or biodiesel from plant biomass is going to be the wrong road because you use more energy to produce these fuels than you get from the combustion of these products. Now, I know some brainiacs listen to the show, so can I get a counterpoint to this? And I'll notice that nobody talked about hemp. Now, hemp is a weed which grows naturally that does not require any farming whatsoever. So I would wonder if you just sort of like took a field, threw a bunch of weed in there in the form of hemp, of course, which is what weed is, grew it because Henry Ford made his first car completely out of dope. The whole fucking car was made out of dope. It ran on dope. It was the dope car. Okay? Do some research on it. Emperor Wears No Clothes. Talk all about it. Now, after I read this article, I talked to Mitch down at AramaxEnergy.com, and he's a really cool guy. He jumped on my live journal a while ago, and he's got all these windmills and stuff like that down there. Very, very cool. And I guess in the land of windmills, his kit's pretty much king. But anyway, neat guy. So I dropped him a line and showed him this article, and I asked him what he thought of this article. And he said to me, Sean, on your article, the guy's probably correct, and it looks like he did some close to non-biased data and clearly state what he did leave out. So yeah. The point of ethanol and methanol is to curtail the use and purchase of foreign oil in general. The energy they're also speaking of is not necessarily oil or oil-related. There are things like hourly wage that the men doing the work receive in calculations like this. And like it said, subsidies are not calculated, and also subsidies and oil purchase sold are not calculated out. So I would equate it to the recycling glass. It takes just as much energy to make recycled glass as new glass, maybe even more once you calculate sorting and transportation. But the reason you do it is to down the already glass in use. Also, or is to downcycle the glass already in use. Also, take into account the environmental benefit, which cannot be calculated into good fiscally usable amounts. Ethanol and methanol reduce carbon emissions and particles in combustion engines and reduce the purchase of foreign oil, as well as provide a much-needed jobs for farmers to keep businesses in our shores. So all it boils down to is how you would like to calculate everything. Remember, statistics are like bikinis. They show you everything but what you really want to see. Well, thanks, Mitch. Now, the whole point here is what he's saying is that we got a lot of factors going on, but I'm a big believer in the truth. I think there is the truth. This is the difference between manipulation and persuasion, right? With manipulation, you got people giving you only the data they want you to see so that they can have their point made, right? Which is, you know, what all certain, you know, religious groups do and shit like that. You know, a lot of the creationists do that stuff. See, there's a footprint in the dinosaur print. Therefore, we're right. Leaps of logic. But, you know, when you look at it and you look at all the data and you actually take the difference engine and weigh all the pros and cons in real time using real data, that's how you're going to get the truth, because there is the truth out there. The truth is out there, dude. We just have to get off our ass, get that shed in the back of our house, convert it to be a workshop, and actually start doing some experimentation on our own. It will be some guy in his backyard who produces the lightsabers and flying cars of the future. I have no doubt. Now, let's get on to some gamer news. Video game players may spend a lot of time on the couch, but they're ready to go out and find their keys quicker than the rest of us, the study suggests. Now, it's very rare you get pro video game stories. Researchers found that gamers who devote much of their free time to Grand Theft Auto and Super Mario may be able to scan their environment and spark their target of their search more quickly than non-gamers can. Interesting. And they get a good headshot. In experiments with college students who were either hardcore video game players or novices, the researchers found that players were quicker to detect target objects on busy computer screen than their peers were. The findings, published in the Journal of Acta Psychologica, suggests that the vigilant watchfulness video games require makes for quicker visual processing. Who the hell wrote this? Gamers' brains don't appear to have any specialized search strategy. They're just faster, explained the lead study author, Dr. Alan Castell. So according to Dr. Castell, We're quicker than the normals, a postdoctorate fellow in psychology at Washington University in St. Louis. Specifically, both groups of students were similar when it came to the search principles of inhibition of return, according to Castell. This means when people look at their keys, they look in one place, and if the keys aren't there, they will look in a number of other spots before giving the original location a second go-around. The experiments, he told Reuters Health Video Games, used the same search strategy as non-gamers did. They just executed it faster! What this means for real life is uncertain. The advantage video gamers held over their peers was in the order of 100 milliseconds, Castell noted. That's a long time. It's possible, though, that the gamer's speed visual processing could make the difference between, for example, crashing a car and averting an accident, according to Castell. Now, what they didn't say here is they forgot to calculate in that whole factor when you have an older, more experienced gamer like myself, where I will go look at the keys, and if the keys aren't exactly where I think they are, I yell, "Honey, where's the keys?" Because they forget the external memory mod, which is the wife. And in biomod news, I found this one on Wired. Scientists are closing in on techniques that could lead them to safely repair almost any defective gene in a patient, opening the door for the first time to treatments for a range of genetic disorders that are now considered incurable. This is staggeringly good news. This is fantastic news. I should have led with this story. The breakthrough, announced in the Journal of Nature in June, relies on so-called zinc fingers, named after wispy amino acid perturbances that emanate from a single zinc ion. When inserted into human cells, now listen to this, the fingers automatically bind to miscoded strands of DNA, spurring the body's innate repair mechanism to recode the problem with the correct gene sequence. So it's like they take these little tiny things, right, these ions, they put them to a DNA, and the body goes, "Oh, that's broken." And they go down there, and they get rid of it, and then they refix it again with the correct gene sequence. The method for fixing miscoded DNA by injecting foreign cells into the cells won headlines 3 years ago when doctors in France and Britain announced a handful of successful cures related to the X-linked severe combined immunodeficiency disease, or SCID, also known as the bubble boy disease. But that method was ultimately proven unsafe. Now, this was the same thing, and I reported on this, I think, a little while ago, but the bubble boy disease, that's the ones where the guys can't go outside the bubble. In a paper published earlier this month, scientists at California biotechnology company Sangamo Biosciences showed that zinc fingers can be used to erase target portions of DNA without risk of harmful side effects. This is brilliant. This doesn't just deliver a foreign gene to the cell, said Nobel Prize winner and Caltech president David Baltimore, who's a smart guy, who, with Sangamo paper co-author Matthew Porteous, proposed this method to cure genetic diseases. It actually deletes the miscoded portion and fixes the problem. How incredibly sexy is this? Do you understand how huge this could be? This means that you can repair DNA. This means that mutations that have gone wrong from radiation could be repaired. This means that genetic diseases like the shit that nailed up Smokehouse and all that stuff, this could be healed. This is the kind of stuff that we need to keep track of so that it doesn't get buried by the super rich, so that the common man will be able to go out there, and woman, will be able to go out there and get this treatment for themselves, for their children, for their loved ones. This story is a huge, huge story. This is like justification for the internet, justification for technology, justification for stem cell research in one. If we could repair our DNA, my God, man, there's no limits to what you could do. And what's the step after that? What's the step after that? Well, enhancing the DNA, isn't it? What if you were to go in, right, fundamentally switch how your DNA is so you make yourself Uber DNA, right? You do like, I don't know, you do the total like Gattaca thing from the movie. And you come up with like your own, you take your sample, you look at your DNA, see where your, you know, flaws are and all the rest of it by genome mapping and all the rest of it. And then you yourself elect through like a procedure to create, you know, Uber you, right? You enhance certain things, get rid of the glasses, la, 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 all the rest of it, you know, make yourself a little smarter maybe, get rid of the asthma, ditch your propensity for depression, you know, get rid of the male pattern baldness, anything else that's, genetic, you don't want to be there. If you're manic depressive, ditch that as well. After you're done modifying on your local PC and your handy-dandy DNA rearrangement device there, After you're done modifying what you want done, you take it back to the clinic. They inject you in specific locations with this key gene sequence DNA code. I mean, you can shoot holes in this all over the place, which is generally just the concept here. And then they go through your body and link up all the other DNA in your body with this weird zinc ion stuff. Now, maybe you'll lay on a table and scream for 4 days. Maybe this is really going to hurt, and you'll sit there and it'll really suck. Okay, but at the end of it, when your DNA is done repairing, you are Uber Dude. You've got it all, man. This is an outstanding story, and I would love to see how this develops in the future. Now, in cybernetics news, now this is actually cybernetics. I was oftentimes thinking about this, where, you know, everybody thinks about RoboCop, everybody thinks about, you know, having bionic limbs and cybernetic implants and all that good stuff, but very few people consider where the power is coming from. Like, what powers that shit? Is it running off of your heart? Is it putting a strain on the biomechanics of your body? Well, Defense Tech was running a story that links to Argonne National Laboratory. Now, at Argonne National Laboratory, researchers are using new materials to build new and more efficient batteries to put in the vests that will wear that will wear next-generation soldiers. For example, the future Army's power vest will use lithium-ion batteries, which will deliver almost twice the energy as current lithium-ion batteries. But Argonne scientists are also developing, listen to this one now, implantable batteries. These rechargeable batteries, which are 100 times smaller than a standard AAA battery, can power implantable microstimulator systems designed to help patients with neurological disorders such as Parkinson's disease. Now, isn't Parkinson's disease kind of a DNA disease? I refer to the previous story, but anyway. Or muscular impairments. These batteries are currently under evaluation by industrial partners and should be soon available. Now, that's very interesting that we now have tiny little batteries. You got to see these batteries, okay? It looks like about maybe a little bit bigger than a grain of rice, according to the picture that I'm seeing, unless my scale's completely off. If that's a AA or a AAA. I guess it's probably a AA in the photo because they want to make it look bigger. But even still, it's not much bigger than a grain of long grain brown rice, this little lithium ion battery. And if it does the same kind of length of time, I mean, what would stop you from like implanting LEDs or infrared LEDs, maybe just above your eye or in that little corner right by where your nose meets the bridge of your skull? You know, and then you have, say, infrared contact lenses, so you produce IR light, which is invisible to the naked eye, from your eyes or from your eye socket or maybe even from wherever, and then you have, you know, the ability to see in the dark. Is this totally out of control? I don't think so. I don't think I'm going really, really too far out here because they're the ones talking about using these implantable batteries to control mind control implants. And incidentally, if you didn't get a chance to check out Coast to Coast last night, George had a guy on there talking about all kinds of mind control technology, and he was really well-spoken. Sometimes the guys that get on that show are really out there. But the dude he had on last night, really great guy. And he was talking all about, you know, this new mind control technology. Mind control technology is a technology that, of course, the core politicals are using, and he's talking about all kinds of stuff. You really need to look into that. There's some interesting information that you can bank. I'm going to be putting on my to-read stack because apparently, there's stuff they can do with the flicker rates and televisions and all kinds of jazz, so it doesn't even matter what's on the TV. It could be watching snow, but they can actually produce desires, implant suggestions, ideas, just from the act of watching the little light box. Isn't that terrifying? And that whole concept even goes further with the concepts of, like, computers and websites and, you know, to go to CNN or whatever, if you got a banner ad there. I mean, there's a lot of really scary stuff. We're getting near the realms of, like, you know, putting the tinfoil on the windows here. Like, you can get some creepy stuff going on. You start talking about mind control. That technology is so unbelievably scary. You know, I just, wow. But something that should be used as well. You know, something else I'd like to see with this battery thing is they should probably use some kind of kinetics or whatever to recharge them. You know what I mean? Like, the same kind of thing they use in batteries. Or not in batteries, in watches. You know, they got those kinetic watches. Maybe they'll wind up using that. Now, in censorship news, this is from Japan Today. In Tokyo, the government said Thursday it will promote the use of filtering software in Japan. Now, we know China was doing this, but apparently Japan is jumping on the bandwagon too, against what it judges to be harmful information over the internet in a bid to prevent such incidences as, check it out, group suicides and productions of explosives via use of the internet. Well, the explosives will just be telling you how to build it. You get that from books. The government will map out procedures and criteria for police to ask internet service providers to disclose information on the senders of messages of planned suicides. It will also try to educate people about the dangers of harmful online information and enhance consultation services about it, Chief Cabinet Secretary Haruyoti Hasoda said. Now, this is bullshit for sure, because, after all, these are people trying to stop stuff from coming into Japan. Like they say in their forums there, what about all the stuff that's homegrown? Okay, like, what the fuck is wrong with Japan? They're selling underwear in their vending machines, for fuck's sakes. Okay? They got manuals for rape, gang rape, bullying, road racing, and pedophilia available at your local Family Mart down there. And they're worried about the internet? No, 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 no. I should suggest you go take a look at your own manga stands, pal. I give you Exhibit A, Rape Man. Thanks for coming out. Exhibit B, Over Fiend. Thanks again for coming out. Okay, it's obviously, this is just yet another measure to try to have some kind of control over the internet. So they want to stop people's access to information. It's a shame that Japan is going that way. I would have hoped that the Japanese would have been a little bit more clever than that and see the long-term benefit, big picture for their people, rather than trying to dumb everyone down. Now, in surveillance news, and this was sent to me by Vec, listen to this one. Police installed video surveillance cameras around town and saw Chicago's murder rate fall to its lowest level in four decades. Now the cops, I'd like to see more research on that, by the way. Now the cops hope to further cut crime by not only watching, but listening, too. Now, we heard about this in England. Remember how I said that once you hear about something in one country, it generally seems to leak over? The city is employing new technology that recognizes the sound of a gunshot within a two-block radius, pinpoints the source, turns a surveillance camera towards a shooter, and places a 911 call. So the city locates the gunshot, throws a camera on it, and calls 911. The city does this. Welcome to crime fighting in the 21st century. Instead of just having eyes, you have an advantage of both eyes and ears, said Brian Baker, chief executive for Safety Dynamics LLC, the company in suburban Oak Brook that makes the systems. And, of course, he's all about this. The technology isn't just gaining favor in Chicago, where 30 of the devices have already been installed in high-crime neighborhoods alongside video surveillance cameras. Baker says dozens more installations will follow. In Los Angeles County, the sheriff's department plans to deploy 20 units to use in a pilot's test. Didn't know if the people in Los Angeles County knew that, but apparently there's 20 of these gunshot mics going up. And officials in Tijuana, Mexico, recently brought 353 units for Tijuana. Holy crap, Tijuana's a bad part of town, Baker said. Police in Philadelphia and San Francisco are close to launching test programs of their own. And New Orleans and Atlanta have also made inquiries. Did you know about this? Did you know about all these different cities buying all these shotgun mics? Safety Dynamics also works with U.S. Army and Navy, developing systems that could detect range of sounds such as glass shattering or diesel trucks slowing at an unsuspected location. Some U.S. troops in Iraq have a similar systems that work differently, designed quickly in late 2003 and early 2004 by Defense Advanced Research Protection Agency. The BBN Technologies Incorporated of Cambridge, Massachusetts, a detector known as a boomerang can be mounted on the back of a moving vehicle to locate hostile gunfire. Yeah, because, you know, it's nice to know where the people shooting at you are shooting from. Makes life a little bit easier. And in Netrunner vilification news, yes, as we all know, everyone who uses the internet and teenage hackers, right? You know, this is listen to this piece of vilification right here. Spotty teenage hackers who sent off global email viruses are being replaced with serious online crooks whose stealth attacks don't make headlines but cause more damage. What? Security software makers said on Tuesday. Well, of course, the security software makers are going to say that because it's vested interest much. 2 years ago, we stayed up all night. Concerns about great mass mailing words, says Mario Juarez, a product manager for the security business of U.S.-based Microsoft. Today, we worry not about viruses that will take every machine down, but they may attack one machine or a set of machines. What? He said in an interview at the Microsoft TechEd's Developers Conference. What you see more of are a variety of attacks that are carried out to make money, such as stealing credit cards or threatening a website with denial of service unless it pays them more money. This is a non-event. He spoke on the same day a 19-year-old German man admitted in court that he had written the Sasser computer worm. Oh, my God. This 19-year-old German man. I like the way they said that. This 19-year-old German man. This 19-year-old German boy, okay, created a computer worm, and now he's being sentenced for it. Granted, you know, he created a computer worm, but he's not, you know, the great threat of the universe here. In 2004, the worm knocked out an estimated 1 million computer systems among home users and companies by spreading the ubiquitous Microsoft Windows operating system. You know, no one ever talks about how... I'm not even going to get into the Penguin Nazi realm with this. The U.S. computer giant has since had to close many open back doors in its software and fix other security holes, which it hasn't fixed all of them yet. After issuing a series of patches, it claims that software is a lot safer now. More improvements are planned. Today, in Outlook Express, if you click on a link, the virus program won't execute, says Detlef Eckert, Senior Director of Trustworthy Computing at Microsoft's European organization, referring to Microsoft's email software. What helps is that consumers are better informed about viruses and worms and have become reluctant to open email attachments that may unleash harmful computer programs. So, you know, I noticed that when they're talking about when they want to vilify hackers and they want to do all this, they only talk to Microsoft. You ever notice that? They never, like, call up Slashdot and say, hey, Slashdot, let's talk about hackers and how dangerous they are. Let's talk to Electronic Freedom Foundation and see what they've got to say. You know what I mean? Well, in Daily Hacks today, I got two of them for you. The EFF Bloggers Guide is one of them, and this is one that I think everybody online should be aware of. This is a lot about guys who blog, you know, who may need to know about this. Incidentally, if you mention Newsreel on the blog, that'd be handy. Get a link out there from time to time. That's a good way to spread the virus. But for today's Daily Hack, the EFF Bloggers Legal Guide. Whether you're a newly minted blogger or a relatively old-timer, you've been seeing more and more stories every day pop up about bloggers getting in trouble for what they post. Like all journalists and publishers, bloggers sometimes publish information that other people don't want publicized. You might, for example, publish something that someone considers defamatory, republish an AP news story that's under copyright, or write a lengthy piece detailing the alleged crime of a candidate for public office. The difference between you and the reporter at your local newspaper is that in many cases, you do not have the benefit of training or resources to help you determine whether or not what you're doing is legal. And on top of that, sometimes knowing the law doesn't help. In many cases, it was written for traditional journalists, and the courts haven't yet decided how it applies to bloggers. Well, that's, after all, shouldn't this all just, because it's all just text. It's all just words on a screen. It's all information, and information should be free. But here's the important part. None of this should stop you from blogging. Freedom of speech is the foundation of a functioning democracy. And the internet bullies shouldn't use the law to stifle legitimate free expression. That's why the EFF has created this guide, compiling a number of facts designed to help you understand your rights and, if necessary, defend your freedom. So make sure you go there and check that out. And as well, thanks to PAM Media, this is very cool, from Defense Tech. This is a link in. The guy who writes Defense Tech is a great website. If you get a chance, go check out Defense Tech. Very cool guy there. He writes on his journal there, I've been a fool, obedient sheep that I am. I believe all those government scientific reports about laser rifles and handheld force fields were decades away from reality, if they were possible at all. Cloaked in the dull skepticism of a flat earther, I naively thought that advances like electro-hypnotizers and ion ray guns were the stuff of science fiction or merely hoaxes. Now, my friends, my eyes are wide open. The truth has been revealed. Not only are these items for real, but a helpful internet retailer, Information Unlimited, out of Amherst, New Hampshire, has been thoughtful enough to sell them under one electronic roof. Huzzah! My only question is, what to buy first? Should it be my telekinetic enhancer or the sonic nausea device? Or maybe I should go with the magnetic cannon. Luckily, the plans for most of these projects are only $20, so I can afford to make some mistakes. Now, personally, I think this is fan-fucking-tastic. If you haven't had a chance to get over to Information Unlimited, they got some groovy shit over there. And if nothing else, hey, it's a great way to have some fun in the lab, man. You can get all mad scientists out there and fuck up the cat. You know, seriously. Seriously, you're going to have a good time with this. I mean, why not? You're going to learn stuff. And if it doesn't work, so what? You're $20 out and you got to play around with some wiring. And after all, didn't you learn something? And that's what it's all about. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of the donators for June of 2005. And they are Forley, Weblife, Alan, Druid Y. Simaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, The Gray Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, and Nominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. Thank you so much. And the new subscribers, the reinforcements were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenly. Thank you very, very much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering information. If you have access to sensitive data or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by The Strand called Diatome, D-I-A-T-O-M. I'm going to leave you now with a tune by Motley Crue called Kickstart My Heart. Because, come on, man, they're probably the hardest free rockers ever. And besides, this is a great song to practice Mecha Sudai by. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.